Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Say this with me out loud, whether it's leather or electric. This is my Bible. It's the living Word of God. Has the power to change lives. And I declare by faith, today my life and the life of those around me will be changed by the Word. Amen. Go to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. We'll pick it up from where we were last week. Psalms 51. And in Psalms 51, I shared with you, and I won't do a bunch of review because we're headed someplace specific today. Psalms 51, David, who blew it big time. Don't have time to deal with what he did, but it was big. It's big, as ugly as it gets. And David cried out in verse 10 of Psalms 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew." Notice what he says. Renew, everybody say renew. Yeah. Renew, in other words, do it again. Make it better. God wants to do not only what he's done to us already, but he wants to do more. He's not satisfied with what he's been able to do. Not because he's not satisfied by what he's done, but he's not done. You're not done. I don't care how old you are. We got George Bay back there, 90 years old. 90 years old today, you old geezer. And we probably have somebody else older than that, you know. But we understand. Who else? How old are you? 90? 90? Okay, we got two 90s? Okay, good. We have 180. Okay. But we understand that God is not done with us, and David understood that. So listen again now. It says, what verse was I on? 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God is moving in a new way in our nation through the church, through the body of Christ. And I believe we're in an epic moment, a divine moment, as the church in America. I can't speak for the rest of the world. But I can say that I believe we're in a divine moment. We as a church, as a body of people. And David was crying out because things weren't going the way they should have gone. And so David picks it up in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold in me a free spirit. David cried out and said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I don't know if you remember when you first got saved. You know, we used to say when people first get saved, you ought to lock them up for 6 months because they're crazy. We used to say that all the time. I don't believe that anymore. I think for the first 6 months, they're more effective than they are the rest of the time. Because when you first get saved, you're so full of fire and you don't know enough to not do what's crazy. Come on. Come on. How many of you remember when you first got saved? Some of you can't remember back that far, but you remember that you were passionate and you were like overwhelmed. It's like, wow, you know, and you're reading your Bible and you're finding stuff and you're going, wow. And I shared with you for the last 2 weeks, I've had this epiphany with God. I was on Domagoni. I won't belabor it again, but if you haven't heard it, go on the podcast from last week. Listen to the podcast about what we talked about. But I said, I had this event with God that I suddenly realized that David said, verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it to thee. You delight not in burnt offerings. That's all the religious stuff. You got that? Remember I said it to you in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. That the thing God wants from me the most, and I said, I've been walking for 5 decades with Jesus. 5 decades. And 3 weeks ago, and I had an encounter on Domagoni. I had to pull over to the side of the road and go, what? I suddenly realized that the thing God wants from me more than anything else is my surrendered spirit. It wasn't my works and wasn't getting everything perfect and doing everything exactly right, but it was God wanted my spirit. And I suddenly realized that when Jesus died on the cross for me, forgive me if you've heard this before, but it's worth hearing again, that when Jesus died on the cross for me, what did he, like that one song we sang, What did he offer God when he gave up his spirit? It says with his last breath, breath is the word ruach, spirit. That the thing God wants from us more than anything else is our spiritual life. It's the life on the inside of us. And I thought, how could I miss that after 5 decades? That suddenly I'm beginning to realize that the thing God wants the most is what David said. That's why Jesus on the cross said, into thy hands I surrender my human spirit. That Jesus had a human spirit, fully God, fully man. We don't have the time to deal with all that. But it's true. The Bible teaches it. And the thing that he wants from us the most is the thing that actually is the freest. The freest part of me is my spirit. It's my flesh that what doesn't want to get up and dance and celebrate and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's my carnal man that's afraid of what you're going to think if I do something goofy because I'm just stoned in Jesus. Not stoned. Here we go. Okay. One of your elders did his pop thing on you. Matter of fact, I told the staff when we were laughing about this in a staff meeting, I said, I know what he did. He changed the ringtone on his phone from ding to bong. The older folks are going, what's a bong? Okay. But you understand that the thing that God wants from us is our surrendered spirit. It's the part of us that is like him, that he placed in us. And I said to you, in the Bible, there are 47 specific references of little s, spirit. Little s, the human spirit. It's precious to God. It's not your body. It's your spirit. And it's the part of you that is unquenchable, that is full of life and full of hope. And then I suddenly, Hebrews chapter, I read this, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 9, give it up. Watch this. Watch what he says. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. That's not what God's looking for. Which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be subject unto the Father of spirits? That God fathered my spirit. That's the part of Bob he's looking for. That's the part that God is looking for from you and I. That's why Jesus said, I've given my spirit in your place. He died in my place. He gave the Father what the Father wants the most. And it's a human spirit. And I've said to you in this series that the thing God wants the most, the thing God desires the most, is the very thing he can't have by force. Only by our surrender. He can't take what he wants. If God takes from us what he wants, it's slavery. And love is measured by sacrifice. The love of God is measured by a sacrifice. It's by willingness to let the other person make a decision. And that's a mystery. That's all God's looking for. He's not looking for religion. That's why we keep saying, you know, I made jokes, and I've already made a joke this morning. Forgive me, but, you know, people say, you know, the rumors in town that we're, you know, we're the crazy people, you know. We dance and shout and holler and, well, let me tell you something. If that's the price of giving God what he wants, I don't care what they think. Come on. I'm just telling you, it's a place, brothers, it's like you saying to you about this Friday night when we come together as brothers, there is nothing more exciting than being with a crowd of men who are unashamed of their love for Jesus, that their testosterone and their manliness doesn't get away in the way, their carnal manliness doesn't get away of their surrender to God. Their openness and their hunger for the presence of God. The Bible is so clear, and David was so clear, that the thing God wants is for us to surrender to him. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Listen to what it says. Mark 12, 29. We have it? I got to tell you, watch this. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments, listen to what he says, is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." Listen to what he says, you know this. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." What? All of your heart. All of you. You don't hold anything back. It's absolute, total, unfettered surrender to God. That's what God wants. That's not religion. That's why Jesus said to the religious leaders of his days, he said, you religious leaders, man, you lead the people like graves full of dead men's bones. There's no life inside you. Why did he say graves full of dead men's bones? Because he's talking about what's on the inside. I've said to you for decades, the inside of you is bigger than the outside of you. And that's what God wants. He goes on to say, he says, "And with all thy soul and all thy mind and with all thy strength," for it is the first commandment. Under which, love God. Love him without restraint, unashamed of what other people think about our passion for him. Am I making any sense? Did I come to the right church? I thought maybe I got the wrong address here. We're talking about absolute surrender, complete and total surrender. Now, if you understand that, he goes on to say, "And the second commandment," in other words, love God without concern about what other people think. They hung Jesus on Calvary, buck naked. And he had no shame. And he gave the Father, he said, "Into thy hands I commit my body." No. He said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit. You can do what you want to do to my flesh, but you can never take my spirit." That's what spiritual people are. Spiritual people, as I've said to you, they don't hover across the floor. They don't walk through walls. They're supernatural people in a physical body, full of the presence and the life of the Spirit of God. He said the first commandment is to love God. Now, we always say there's only two commandments. It says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and love thy what? Neighbor as thyself. There's three. You love God, and you love the people around you the way you love yourself. And when we don't understand this issue of spiritual issues, we measure our own self-worth by the natural, by the physical. Whether you're smart enough, or whether you're talented enough, or whether you're gifted enough in the natural. You are not limited by your inability in the natural. You are limited only by your understanding of who you really are. Your self-esteem is on the inside, your spirit. And you're not measured by how old you are, how young you are, how gifted you are, or talented you are. None of that means anything to God. None of that means anything to God. But you see yourself measuring yourself by other people that you think are better than you because they have more gifts, more talent, and then what happens, you end up missing who you really are because you pursue what the world tells you gives you value. And the world tells you you're a better person if you have the right hood ornament on your car. And you pay five times as much as everybody else does just to get the stupid thing serviced. And those who are laughing have the hood ornament. Are you with me? It's not where you live. It's who you are on the inside. And when you face life and you face life circumstances, that's what God's looking for. I want to give you a diagram. Give him the diagram, Eli. I want you to see this diagram. This is how life is lived pre-Jesus. You're a three-part being. You're made in the image of God. You're not God. You never will be a God. Come on. Everybody say amen. But you're a three-part being made in the image of God, Genesis 1:27. God created us in his image, three-part beings, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You and I have three parts. You have a body, and then you have a soul. Your soul is the part of you that makes decisions, Okay, you got that? That's how you think. Because there's a war for how you think. Got it? And then you have a spirit. Now, what have I said to you in the series? What does God want from you? What does God want from you? Spirit. Okay, this is the way you are before you're born again. You have one, but it's overpowered by your carnal desires, your physical needs, and then the way you've been raised, or what you've learned mentally, or your mental abilities or inabilities. And then you have a spirit. Now, who's really in charge when you're that way? Your flesh. Come on, don't shout me down because I'm preaching right. But when you're born again and you invite Jesus into your life, he doesn't empower your flesh. He tells you it's time to kill it. It's time to kill it. I don't mean literally, you know, I mean make it submit. And if you grew up with the wrong way of thinking, and you grew up with all these mental predispositions about how you were raised and how God is not a loving God and Jesus is just a religion and people are mean and maybe you were abused and hurt and wounded and all that kind of junk you bring to God in your mind. But when you're born again, it should look like this. Now what happens is your spirit becomes bigger than your flesh. Are you with me? That's what it means when you're born again. If you haven't been born again, your spirit is not ruling your life. Say, well, it's not ruling my life now. That's the war we're in. And you understand it. You see that now what happens is your body is subject to your spirit, and your spirit tells your mind how to think. Are you with me? This is the manufacturer's handbook. This is how you think. If you think outside God's word, and the world will tell you you're crazy. Used to be you could carry a Bible around. Yesterday I was sitting in where'd I go? I was in Panera. I was in Panera Bread, and I was sitting there, and there's a little corner in Panera Bread where it just has two chairs. I didn't want to take a table because people come in and they need a table. So there was two chairs there and a little table. So I brought my stuff in. I brought my laptop and some other stuff, my notes. Just wanted to get out of the house and just air my brain. Now I'm sitting there, and I got my Bible, and I open my Bible, and people walk by, and they look, and they go. And they're not looking at me. Because you know what? This scares people. It shouldn't. You know why it scares people? Because they think when you live this, you get religious. They don't understand that when you live God's word, this is the manufacturer's handbook. When you live this, you're not scary. You're free. You get free from all the garbage you had when you gave your life to Jesus. Yes. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever the case is. Yes. You get free and Jesus comes into your life and yes. God's word is alive. It's now no longer just a book full of stuff. It's alive. It's something that's, I remember when I first got saved and I lived in an apartment, studio apartment with two other guys, almost as crazy as I was. And I remember I've told you before, I was dyslexic. I almost failed high school and learned how to cheat my way into college and so forth and so on and all that kind of stuff. But I had a hard time reading. And I remember I would read as much as I could. And then I'd think, now this is just, you know, I would lay it on my chest and go to sleep like this, hoping that maybe I could just absorb some. You know what I mean? Now, how many of you know that didn't work? But God knew my heart. Do you understand that? God knew my heart because he knew. I want to be free. I want to be more spiritual than I am natural. And so Jesus said, if you really want to walk this way, then you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You don't love yourself if you don't get in the word. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't like the truth, it's your problem, not mine. If you don't get in the Word, you don't love yourself. Because you're trying to live on the natural realm, and you're trying to let me, your pastor, or somebody else, or Christian television feed you. That nothing can feed your spirit like you opening up God's Word and saying, feed my spirit. David said that. He said, I know, God, what you want. What you want is a broken and a contrite spirit. What does that mean, broken and contrite? Does that mean beat up and run over? That means surrender. Just surrender. Just surrender and realize that the love of God is the issue. Jeremiah 23:33 became a primary verse for my life. And listen to what it says. And when this people, or the prophet, or priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say to them, what burden? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. I read this chapter. I don't have the time for it this morning, but it talks about God's burden for a people. And the word burden there means a desire. It doesn't mean like, oh, geez, you know. It means God's desire. He loves you. As jacked up as you and I are, he loves you, and he just wants to reveal himself to you. And he wants to make himself real. But we want to play it safe. We want him to come to us, but we'll never surrender and yield and say, I want to be filled with your spirit and I want to live the life Jesus died for me to live. Paul said to the Galatian church, he said to the Galatians in chapter 3, he said, oh, foolish Galatians. You foolish Galatians, you started in the spirit, and now you're trying to finish in the flesh? What he was saying to them is, you backed away from the spiritual life because everybody thinks you're spooky and you're weird. They categorize you as people that are just unashamed of how you feel. Well, you know what? That's the bottom line. All God's looking for is a broken and a surrendered spirit. He's not looking for a religious giant. Jesus said to the religious people of his day, like I've already said, you guys are like whitewashed sepulchers. You're full of dead men's bones. Not you, but the people that try to make a walk with God something in the natural. It is natural, but it starts here. That's where you were born again. And your spirit is alive. And we live in a nation right now that is desperate for people to understand this issue. Our nation is in deep trouble. Spiritually, we are in serious trouble. You are not going to turn this nation around on a dime. Now, we murder babies and protect animals. I love animals. I love that. They taste great. Sorry. I'm a carnivore. I'm sorry. And I hate watching the YouTube things of dogs and cats and animals and pets that are abused and mistreated. I hate that. I hate watching that. But when we, right now, you know what they're, you know how they are legally getting through the hoops and the laws now in abortion? They will deliver the baby body first, leave the head and the cervix, and then kill it. That's going on right now in our nation. There's a god in the Old Testament called the god Molech. And the nation of Israel found itself faced with the god Molech. Molech was a giant bronze statue. It was a god that had an open belly. that they would build a fire in, made out of bronze. And it had its hands out like this. And they would build a fire inside this bronze statue. And the way they sacrificed to the god Molech is they took a live baby and set it on the hands. This is not for shock value. But if it shocks you and I to the point where we realize we must stand up for the truth in our nation is not going to get better until God's people rise up and say, His word is true. We will not condone what's trying to be crammed down our throat. They tell us it's hate speech when we say Jesus is the only way to God. It's not hate speech. It's the truth and it's love. And I want to tell you, in my lifetime, I'm only 70. We got people in the room that are 90. Young enough to be my parents. But to understand this, in my lifetime, you have to understand, we are in serious trouble as a nation, but there's an answer. And that answer is God's people being raised up according to the scriptures who will offer God the thing He wants the most, and that's their spiritual life to live in justice and righteousness before God, to let people know that the soul of human beings is the most important thing to God. And if we understand this, we realize that we are an army being mustered for war. I want you to understand, spiritual warfare is coming to a new place like it's never been before. I wrote a book on spiritual warfare, went around the world. It's in three languages. And we're going to a place that book has never touched. And it's a place where the church is going to rise up to be a people of faith and hope and courage. And I want to ask you, I'm not trying to be spiritual. But to be honest before you, it's time that the people of God, not just in this church, not just in this community, not just in this nation, hear the voice, the prophetic voice of God, calling the church of Jesus Christ, the blood-bought saints, to a new place in spiritual issues. To learn how to spend time with God. To learn how to let Him fill you with His Spirit. Jesus could not have done what He did in the natural. Fully God, but fully human, could not have done it without the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to make sure His spirit man ruled His natural. And then He gave that up on the cross for me and for you so that we could do the same thing for Him. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, He was saying, do for me what I've done for you. I gave it all for you so you could have it all for me. That the cross represents more than Jesus dying. It's a constant reminder to us that I've been called to live a life sacrifice. That the way I love God is the way I love other people. And if I say I love God, and I'm not passionate about this message with other people. All that I say about God is void. I mean no sense to make you feel bad. That's not my goal. This church is going to a new place. And I can't make it happen. But we can. And it starts with the men. God will never do what he intends to do spiritually beyond the willingness of the men in any church. Not because women are subservient to us, but because that's the way God the Father designed it. And when the men come to their rightful place in the things of God, where they surrender their spirit, that's when the women are freed to be everything God's called them to be. Would you bow your heads? If you're watching by live feed today, if you don't know Jesus, give your life to him. Just ask him right there. You don't have to do something religious. You don't have to get on your knees. Just say, Jesus, if you're real, make yourself real. That's all you have to do. That's all he needs. And he'll make himself real to you right there. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege and the honor to be a part of this body and this congregation of people. And wherever you choose to take us, let us live a life of surrender to your word and to the scriptures. Let us be spiritual people that offer you the very thing you want the most. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We thank you for filling us with your spirit and opening your scriptures to us. We ask for your grace and we ask for your mercy.